Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Have Mormons misinterpreted 2 Nephi 25:23? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Today we are wrapping up our look at a conference message by Dieter F. Uchtdorf, second counselor in the first presidency of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a talk he gave called The Gift of Grace. Today we are looking at what he said under the heading, All We Can Do.
He said, the prophet Nephi made an important contribution to our understanding of God's grace when he declared, we labor diligently to persuade our children and also our brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God, for we know that it is by grace that we are saved after all we can do. However, I wonder if sometimes we misinterpret the phrase, after all we can do. We must understand that after does not equal because. We are not saved because of all that we can do. Have any of us done all that we can do? Does God wait until we've expended every effort before he will intervene in our lives with his saving grace? Many people feel discouraged because they constantly fall short. They know firsthand that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. They raise their voices with Nephi in proclaiming, my soul grieveth because of mine iniquities.
Now let's look at what he said here, because this is certainly one passage in the Book of Mormon that we have big problems with. If there was a period after the word saved, no big deal. It would then read, by grace we are saved. But it has a comma, and then it says, after all we can do. Dieter Uchtdorf raises a very good question. Who is doing all that they can do? I don't know of anybody who's doing all that they can do, but that's what it says. After all we can do. That's the way the sentence reads. Now, when he says, we must understand that after does not equal because, that wouldn't put me at ease. You still have to do all you can do, whether the grace comes before or after. It still behooves you as the member of the LDS Church to do all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So when he raises the question, well, who's doing all you can do? My answer is, well, nobody. That's why you need grace in its purest form. It has to be unmerited. But when he says we are not saved because of all that we can do, I still have to argue, that's what you're told. Isn't
right.
that what it says?
Well, yeah, True to the Faith, a church manual from 2004 on page 77 says, the phrase, after all we can do, teaches that effort is required on our part to receive the fullness of the Lord's grace and be made worthy to dwell with him.
Well, when he says many people feel discouraged because they constantly fall short, well, I can understand why. I mean, look at this statement from 70 Bruce Hafen. This is in a book that he wrote with his wife, Marie. And on page 113 of their book, The Belonging Heart, The Atonement and Relationships with God and Family, this is what Hafen said. God bestows these additional perfecting expressions of grace conditionally, as he does the grace that allows forgiveness of sin. They are given after all we can do. That is, as a supplement to our best efforts.
And no wonder Mormons get discouraged and have a hard time following through. There's so much depression going on, I mean, throughout the world, but even here in the state of Utah, we see that people realize that they can't do it all. Listen to what Joseph Fielding McConkie and Robert L. Millett said in the Doctrinal Commentary on the Book of Mormon. This is volume 1, page 295. And then ask yourself, is there any encouraging words here? Because they write, indeed, it is only after a person has so performed a lifetime of works and faithfulness, only after he has come to deny himself of all ungodliness and every worldly lust, that the grace of God, the spiritual increment of power, is efficacious.
Yeah, it doesn't even kick in until after you've done that. So when he asks the question here, does God wait until we've expended every effort before he will intervene in our lives with his saving grace? Notice the wording, saving grace. I would say, well, it sounds like it, Mr. Uchtdorf. to receive the grace that actually saves you or forgives you, you must do all that you can do. So he does, in effect, wait until the end, because he certainly doesn't give you that saving grace that forgives you of all your sins before you've accomplished all that in the context of Mormonism. You cited Joseph Fielding McConkie and Robert L. Millett in their doctrinal commentary on the Book of Mormon. Let me just say, Volume 2, page 258 in that same set, they say something very similar. They write, after we have done all that we can do, after we have denied ourselves of all ungodliness and worldly lust, then is the grace of God sufficient for us. Then we are sanctified in Christ and eventually made perfect in Christ. My question is, when do they get their sins forgiven? Before they do all that they can do, or after they do all that they can do?
And the references that they gave in that last passage you just read were 2 Nephi 25:23, but also Moroni 10:32. We hear those two put together often when one is brought up, the other is as well. Listen to what Moroni 10:32 says. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if he shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God.
So it sounds like an if-then proposition.
Sure.
If you deny yourself of all ungodliness and love him with your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient. Now, notice in that passage, the grace in this context comes afterwards. Now, is this talking about the same kind of grace that maybe Uchtdorf is referring to? Because we're not denying that there's an element of grace that enables Mormons to do what that verse says to do. Mm-hmm. But the point is that we're trying to get across, folks, is the grace that forgives, not the grace that just enables you.
Mm-hmm.
The grace that forgives doesn't come until after the Mormon member has done everything that they are supposed to be doing, keeping and all the commandments and repenting of the sins.
And you hit the nail on the head there, because what this idea of after, in Christianity, it's not after, but before. God has loved us so much when he's died for the individual that the person who has belief in him is able to receive that grace and know that his sins are forgiven. And this is something that the Mormon is not allowed to understand or know. He always is striving for that. And so 2 Nephi 25:23 certainly is not a biblical verse.
No, and then when you have people like Boyd Packer, he said in a conference message he gave back in 1997, it can be found in the Ensign of May 1997, page 10, it was a message titled, Washed Clean. Boyd Packer said, when you meet all the conditions of repentance, however difficult, you may be forgiven, and your transgressions will trouble your mind no more. It sounds like he's going right along with how 2 Nephi 25:23 has always been understood, that the grace that you need for the forgiveness of sins comes only after you've proven yourself faithful. Then you are going to be getting that forgiveness that you seek.
Apostle Dallin Oaks says in the Inside Magazine, May 1998, General Conference Edition, page 56, he says, and what is all we can do? It surely includes repentance and baptism, keeping the commandments and enduring to the end. Yesterday, we read a list from Gospel Principles that talked about all of these things that you have to do. And again, we've asked, who's doing it all? I don't think anybody can.
Well, we go on in Dieter F. Uchtdorf's talk where he says that I am certain Nephi knew that the Savior's grace allows and enables us to overcome sin. This is why Nephi labored so diligently to persuade his children and brethren to believe in Christ and to be reconciled to God. After all, that is what we can do, and that is our task in mortality. Again, it becomes confusing. The what we can do, according to Nephi, is the all.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're supposed to do, and it goes along with 1 Nephi 3:7. We're assuming it's the same guy who wrote it. That says that God's not going to give you a commandment that you can't keep. So if you're not keeping all those commandments, certainly the fault lies with you as a member of the LDS Church. It's not that the commandment was too hard. For some reason, you didn't keep it for any number of reasons. But the point is, when he says The Savior's grace allows and enables us to overcome sin. Now, that's very Kimball-esque, because Spencer W. Kimball said, in order to receive that forgiveness, you must overcome your sin in this mortality. And look what Uchtdorf says. After all, that is what we can do, and that is our task.
Yeah.
In mortality.
Yep.
So I would not feel comforted at all by what he is saying in this section of his talk.
But he sure makes it sound that you should be comforted in his last section called Grace is Available to All. He refers to the Easter Sunday on the day that he's speaking, and he talks about how the gates of heaven are unlocked, the windows of heaven are opened, and then he closes with this. Today and forevermore, God's grace is available to all whose hearts are broken and whose spirits are contrite. Jesus Christ has cleared the way for us to ascend to heights incomprehensible to mortal minds. I pray that we will see with new eyes and a new heart the eternal significance of the Savior's atoning sacrifice. I pray that we will show our love for God and our gratitude for the gift of God's infinite grace by keeping His commandments and joyfully walking in a newness of life. In the sacred name of our Master and Redeemer, Jesus Christ, amen. And I'm going to tell you that what he says with new eyes, what we will see with new eyes and a new heart, and the eternal significance of the Savior's atoning sacrifice, what he has preached might not be understood by everybody, but he has preached nothing different than what he and his other fellow leaders have been preaching for years.
Oh, absolutely. And when he says Jesus Christ has cleared the way for us to ascend to heights incomprehensible to mortal minds, you can be sure what he's meaning in that statement is now the ability to do so has been given to you according to the Mormon concept of grace, but it's still up to the individual Mormon to put forth that effort in order to achieve the exaltation that they are seeking. It is not a gift in the common sense of the word, because a gift is normally given without expecting anything in return. In Mormonism, the gift of exaltation, as they call it, comes at a price, and that price is total obedience, keeping all the commandments. If you don't do that, you end up in the lower level of kingdom, either the terrestrial or the celestial.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like to know more about the Mormon religion while learning how to share your Christian faith? Well, on Saturday, April 25th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will be delivering their Compassionate Boldness Symposium, Part 2, in Payson, Utah. This free PowerPoint presentation includes teaching about the role of Mormon prophets, the Book of Abraham, the LDS doctrine of eternal progression, and what Mormon leaders have taught regarding exaltation and godhood. While it is part two, you don't need to have attended the first part. Now, in addition, Bill will also speak on the new Mormon temple on Friday, April 24th at 7 p.m. If you'd like directions or more information to Payson Bible Church, simply go to mrm.org. Once again, that's mrm.org. And then click on the link that says calendar, located right there at the upper left-hand side of the homepage. As always, we truly hope to see you there.